Hello and welcome to Press TV's Debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, after 2 years of fighting, the Syrian military is on the move against insurgents. After taking control of the strategic city of Qusair, Syrian government forces have their eyes on Aleppo and the towns around it. Now, the latest operation is named North Storm, and these latest offensives definitely appear to be creating a storm for the Western and regional supporters of the insurgents. Stay with us on this debate as we look at the latest from Syria.
The Syrian military has recently captured strategic towns of Qusair, Qunaytara, and Daba'a in the west. On Saturday, government forces seized the last rebel bastion in the area. That brought the entire Qusair region near the border with Lebanon under control of the Syrian army. This only days after the regime seized Qusair that had been in the hands of armed militants for over a year.
This is one of the places in Al-Buwayda al-Sharqiyya, which was recently liberated by the Syrian army, a house for the armed opposition groups. As I said, just a few hours ago, it was cleared by the Syrian army and these armed insurgents fled. Inside the house, not just this house, by the way, many of the houses, you see this flag, the flag of Saudi Arabia. Many other, of course, you can find other things like army uniforms, Free Syrian Army flags as well.
Now, the army is focusing on the northern part of the country. The Syrian army has launched a major operation to clear the northwestern city of Aleppo from foreign-backed insurgents. Government forces have reportedly closed the major outlets of the city, which is located some 310 kilometers from the capital, Damascus. The army is preparing to attack militant strongholds in the towns of Hayyan, Andan, Tel Rifat, and Azaz on the outskirts of Aleppo. The operation is codenamed North Storm. Back in 2011, the West, Turkey, and its Arab allies, including Saudi Arabia and Qatar, waged a proxy war on Syria, sending in thousands of foreign militants and supporting thousands of more within Syria to bring down the government there. They had predicted the fall of Damascus would only take weeks or a couple of months, but now the fight is in its third year and the Syrian government is making extraordinary gains. The conflict, however, has shattered Syria. The UN says that over 80,000 people have been killed in the conflict. Nearly 2 million others have also been displaced. Countries like Russia and Iran have repeatedly said that the crisis in Syria will only come to an end through diplomacy, not force. While Syria announced that it's ready to attend the upcoming international summit in Geneva, the so-called Syrian National Coalition says it will participate only if new weapons are provided to it by the West. When is this all going to end? Well, time and diplomacy can tell.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program out of Beirut, Press TV's correspondent Ali Rizg, and Berkeley, California, investigative journalist Lee Kaplan, and out of London, the co-founder of the Syrian Youth in Britain, Danny Mackey. Thank you all for being with us. Ali, I'd like to start with you because you were just there on the scene. Give us a short wrap-up of basically what you saw.
Basically, the destruction was unbelievable, more than anyone could expect. All the city was in ruins, including a church, by the way, for the Christian population. We have to remember that Al-Qusair has a Christian population of around 8,000 people. Something worth noting here as well is that the first person killed by the armed opposition in Al-Qusair was also a Christian, a Syrian Christian citizen. As I said, you know, widespread destruction. The city did appear to be under occupation, most of it, by these armed groups or by the armed opposition. I think that when one speaks about Al-Qusair, basically, a very important point to underscore is Al-Qusair's proximity to Lebanon, and that's where I think Israel comes into the picture, because the first and foremost aim of Israel, as we hear from many Israeli officials, is to take control of that particular area, because that would be considered a severe and a very strong blow against Hezbollah. So taking over this city did seem to be another struggle, for example, between the resistance bloc on the one hand and Israel on the other, particularly Hezbollah and Israel, which I think gives you a valid, of course, information or a valid reason why Hezbollah got involved, because it was indeed a war not just waged on Syria, but also was targeting Hezbollah. And so hence now, clearing out the city of the armed insurgents, strategically speaking, is considered once again another setback for the Israeli side, because the Israeli side did view that this was a golden opportunity to weaken its arch-rival Hezbollah.
All right, well, let me turn to Berkeley, California, and get investigative journalist Mr. Lee Kaplan in on this. Your take, sir, has this situation, basically the Syrian military retaking Qusair, how does that affect Israel in your perspective? Is it a blow, as our correspondent has just commented?
Well, Al-Qusair, I mean, all right, they had a victory in Al-Qusair, but that's one victory. This has been an ongoing war for 3 years. They had some success in that one region, and all of a sudden they're declaring a victory in the whole civil war. You know, I'd like to point out that the Arab media was reporting that Bashar Assad was walking through the streets of Homs and shaking everybody's hand. I almost find that like Hitler walking through Auschwitz and greeting all the Jews.
Okay, Mr. Kaplan, can you answer the question specifically? Is it a blow? Is it a blow to Israel what has taken place in Al-Qusair or not?
No, I don't think it's a blow to Israel. I think it's a blow to the Arab people. The only thing that affects Israel, however, is it may and it will help the Hezbollah to get more and heavily strategic weapons, which ultimately would threaten Israel and might bring Israel into the fray. Something else we need to understand here, too, is that the victory there wasn't from the Syrian army. The victim there was from Hezbollah backing up the Syrian army.
Okay, well, let me get Mr. Danny Mackey in on this. Your take, sir, what do you think has changed in general that we're seeing a lot more success on the ground by the Syrian forces?
What we are essentially seeing is a change in the military strategy of the Syrian army to deal with a form of unconventional warfare which is perpetrated by these armed groups and militias which are funded by certain regional Arab countries. The fact of the matter is that Al-Qusair is not the only victory which has been won by the Syrian army in recent times. There have been numerous other victories from Aleppo to Daraa, areas such as Daraya in Damascus, which took over 4 to 5 months, but which are significantly strategic areas where the opposition had a hub where they could launch terrorist attacks on Damascus and other areas. Al-Qusair is significant as a military battleground and in a demographic sense is very, very important, not least because of its proximity to the Lebanese borders, but also because of the fact that Al-Qusair was essentially the capital of the insurgency in Homs and one of the main areas for where armed groups could launch attacks on other areas in Syria. To your guest who states that what is happening in Syria is a civil war, this narrative is completely destroyed, as it is very clear for the whole world to see that what is happening in Syria is a geopolitical proxy war which is being fought by numerous Arab countries and the international community on Syrian territory. It is not a fight or a struggle between a president and a population, or between Syrians and them and themselves or their brothers. It is essentially a fight between moderation and extremism, essentially a fight between progressive Arab nationalism and modernization of Arab countries and the regressive, stagnant policies of Gulf Arab countries and extremism, which is funded by numerous other Arab countries.
Okay.
So we cannot necessarily say that what is happening in Syria is a civil war. There is an ideological level, a social level, and definitely a political level. The fact that military operations will now be conducted in Aleppo and other areas essentially suggests that Al-Qusair could essentially be a stepping board to regaining much ground in Syria and for the Syrian army to essentially call the shots and exert
Let me switch back to
which
Berkeley
and get our other guests back in on this.
All right, let me get Lee Kaplan back in on this. After spending millions and investing a lot of time and planning, do you think that the insurgents and their supporters will accept a defeat, or do you think that we can expect more attacks?
Oh, I think you can expect more attacks, and I think eventually Assad will be gone. He says that this isn't a civil war. This certainly is a civil war. It's a war between Shiites and Alawites, or Shiite sect, and Sunni Muslims. And that's a civil war. And basically, you had a minority, a Shiite-led government under Assad, a dictatorship, a genocidal butcher who controlled a Sunni majority. And the fact is, it is a civil war. Taking that aside, you know, the only way that this can end and will save the lives of Arab people there is if Assad were to join Mr. Mackey in London and reopen his ophthalmology practice there. But he won't go. And as long as he insists on being there, as with most dictators, he's a holdout. And as long as he has Iran and Russia to prop him up, this war is going to continue and kill even more Arab people, unfortunately, on both sides.
All right, Mr. Mackey, your take
on... Can I have an intervention, please?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. The people who decide whether President Assad stays or leaves are the Syrian people who should be this, who should decide this through democratic elections, not through observers stating that he should leave or through Western countries demanding that President Assad should leave. Assad remains a president of a sovereign country which does not want its sovereignty violated by Western countries or certain regional Arab countries. As to the concept of there being a sectarian war in Syria, Syria is one of the biggest states in the Middle East with a vastly diverse population of a heterogeneous, coexistive population who have lived side by side between Sunnis, Alawites, Christians for numerous centuries. Sectarianism is a phenomenon which was created by the Americans when they entered Iraq and created destabilization and essentially a sectarian war. Sectarianism is essentially a Western agenda which is being used in Syria. I am a Sunni from Damascus. The Sunni general business classes in Damascus and Aleppo and throughout Syria have essentially signified very large support for the government in terms of stability, in terms of peace, instead of not supporting regime change. The fact that Assad remains in power is generally because the majority of the population are against regime change, and there have been significant proportions of the Sunni business class who have ensured that Assad stays in power because of their threats of extremism and threats of Wahhabism coming from foreign-backed militants, essentially Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra Front militants, who have essentially exported levels of extremism, barbarism and radicalization, which we have not seen unless in countries such as Somalia and Afghanistan. Due respect to these countries, but it is not a sectarian war. And Assad remains a president of all Syrians, regardless of sect. The Syrians have a constitution and are unified by citizenship, a concept unknown in numerous Gulf Arab states.
Let me get Mr. Kaplan back in on this. All right, Mr. Kaplan, now each town or city which has been liberated by the Syrian military has been totally devastated, as you heard at the beginning of this program. Our correspondent who was on the scene said total devastation. Now, it seems odd that a people of a nation, even if they were involved in what you're saying is a civil war, that there would be such vast destruction just because of the sense of nationalism. Why do you think that we're seeing this widespread destruction, especially in the areas that have been in the hands of the insurgents?
Well, if you're implying that the destruction only comes from the Free Syrian Army, it's not true. It also comes from the Syrian Army. The fact is that the Syrian Army, and Mr. Mackey needs to study some history, they haven't lived in accord. Mr. Assad's father leveled the town of Homs at one time and killed 30,000 Syrians. There's 80,000 Syrians who are killed now. To suggest that the Syrians are the good guys who are putting up a front against Al-Qaeda, whom they supported in the past, and other terrorist groups who they gave a base to in Damascus, is really a joke. And it relies on the naivete and lack of historical knowledge of the people listening. And, you know, let's be honest here. What's keeping Assad in power is his backing from Iran. And unfortunately, at this point, it's also coming from Russia. And when he talks about outside forces influencing the civil war against supposedly this wonderful government that Assad has had, where he's been nothing but a genocidal butcher for many years, his whole family, they have outside influence on their side, too, which is Iran and which is Russia. And these are countries which have a dog in the fight. Iran would like to develop the bomb, would like to oppose America. The Russians, too, have their political, geopolitical
And which countries would you say are on the side of the insurgents? We're talking about the United States. We're talking about the UK, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Turkey. What about their influence on this whole situation with pumping money and weapons? How has that had an effect on this situation in Syria?
Well, I can't speak for governments because, of course, I'm a correspondent. But what I can do is I can tell you that my analysis of this is that, yes, the West, the United States, the UK, their main concern, number one concern, is the development of nuclear weapons by the Iranians, and that
Syria is a main proxy force for Iran
in that part of the region.
Please stay on topic. We're talking about Syria.
I am staying on topic, madam.
We're talking about Syria and the influence as far as the Western countries. Do you not think that that played a role in this violence and destruction that has taken place in Syria when money has been pumped in from several regional countries like Saudi Arabia, like Qatar, and also as far as the arms and the okay even now from the EU? At one point, they had frozen the weapons. And also the United States. Tell me about their role that they have played in all of this destruction. You haven't mentioned that at all.
Well, their role. Anytime you're involved in a war, you're going to have people killed on both sides. But let's be clear about something here. The UN has just come out and said, and the French have come out and said, that the Syrian government is using sarin gas, and they're using poison gas weapons. Not used since the First World War.
Which is incorrect.
Now I've heard the Syrians claim, that the insurgents were using poison gas. I haven't seen anything other than in the controlled press in Syria claiming such a thing. But the fact is, the United Nations has come out and said that the Syrian regime is using poison gas.
Let me get our correspondent, who was I want to turn back to Beirut and get Ali Riz back in on this. Ali, because you had mentioned originally about the destruction, and our guest in Berkeley is saying that basically it hasn't really taken place by the insurgents. I want to talk about these areas that you have just seen that had been recently liberated. And I remember yesterday when we were talking together, and it just seemed like utter destruction, almost as if there was not even one building intact. Ali, just tell me a little bit about this, what you have seen. Do I still have Ali Riz? Okay, hopefully I can get him back on because he was a witness and was there on the scene yesterday. What about that? I want to turn to Mr. Mackey. In general, when you see the utter destruction that is taking place and has taken place, especially in these newer areas that are being liberated, like in Al-Qusair, tell me, do you think that Syrians, if this, as our other guest has said, was a civil war, that Syrians would be fighting Syrians? Would Syrians do this to their own country?
What it essentially does is critique the concept which was crafted in Western capitals that there was a peaceful revolutionary uprising in Syria. When we essentially see this level of destruction, this level of devastation of people's lives, of families, of civilian infrastructure, we essentially argue that there are Western agendas which are being perpetrated in Syria and using armed groups and armed militias essentially as servants to these agendas. We have to go back to one point, which was that Syria has dealt with Al-Qaeda. Let's remember who created Al-Qaeda when they were fighting the Russians in Afghanistan. It was the United States of America who funded and created Al-Qaeda and the Taliban to fight the Russians in a proxy war when there was a Soviet Union. They created Al-Qaeda, they gave them money and finance and armed, and then it was Al-Qaeda who turned against them after fighting the Russians. The United States and other Western countries have a history of funding political Islam in different other countries and then using them against their own populations as weapons of fear, you could argue. The fact is that America is directly allied with Al-Qaeda in Syria. The fact is that America wants to arm and send Stinger missiles to Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra Front members in Syria. When he relates to the Syrian president, to quote, he said, butcher. How many Iraqi civilians did America kill when they invaded Iraq? How many Vietnamese civilians did America kill when they invaded Vietnam? How many Koreans and people from Panama, Guatemala, from numerous other countries have the Americans killed during the last 50 years. America has attempted to change 50 regimes internationally since the turn of the Second World War.
Okay, I want both of my guests, hold up, please. I want to get comments from our Facebook. I want to get comments from our Facebook viewers. Please, both of you hold up and let's listen to the comments.
First, Syria should be free of Western and Arab-backed insurgents, and then the Syrians, not the West or East, nor North or South, can decide what new Syria and the Syrian government should be like.
Okay, what about that? Let's go back to Mr. Kaplan. What's your take on what our viewer has just said?
It might be fine if Mr. Assad would step down and if you had an independent election where the Syrian people were able to vote, but not at the point of a gun by the Assad regime. And, you know, it's always a case of telling a story like Mr. Mackey just did and leaving out the most important details. He says that America founded al-Qaeda. Well, it's not true. During the Afghan war in Russia, the United States did fund the Mujahideen. That was how they defeated Russia in that region of the world. Osama bin Laden himself stated before he was killed that the United States did not give him money and did not fund his faction in the Afghan war. And the United States did not fund these groups. They did fund elements of the Mujahideen. This is true. However, he also alludes and tries to suggest that the United States is funding the al-Nusra Front. Well, that's not true either. They are being funded by the Saudis. They are being funded by the Turks. They're being funded by the Qataris. These are fellow Arabs who are Sunnis. And yes, they're allies of the United States. And yes, they're American allies. But the fact of the matter is, the United States is not funding directly these groups precisely because they're trying to keep a dog out of the fight.
Okay.
And they may root for them and they may prefer that that's what they have. But Mr. Mackey is citing false history. He doesn't know his facts.
All right, Mr. Mackey, I'm almost out of time, Mr. Kaplan. Okay, I'm almost out of time, but Mr. Mackey, what does it take at this point in time to actually be able to reestablish peace now in Syria? We know that there is going to be talks in Geneva. Do you think that it's going to make a difference in this situation?
Well, as a Syrian, essentially, we will hope for a political solution, yet the opposition in other countries such as Britain, France, America, and regional Arab despotic reactionary regimes continue to reject a political solution and block a political settlement, which will call for the end of the crisis and a stop from Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey of sending lethal armament and ammunition to the Syrian rebels, who, on the matter of fact, are not the Free Syrian Army, but essentially shady Islamist groups, and the majority of them are extremists. When your guest discusses the concept that I do not know my facts, the fact of the matter is that the West is now directly allied with regimes in the Gulf Arab states who are dictatorships yet continue to want freedom and democracy in Syria. When Erdogan states that protesters in Syria, in Turkey, are vandals, but protesters in Syria are freedom fighters, so he essentially exposes the level of double standards that he has in his own politics.
Mr. Mackey, what is Hezbollah?
Remain silent on human rights violations in Turkey. Hezbollah is on the Syrian borders. Where is the 40,000 jihadists who are currently in Syria now?
I'd like to thank both of you. I'm sorry, but we're out of time. Mr. Danny Mackey, I'd like to thank you out of London, co-founder of the Syrian Youth in Britain, and Mr. Lee Kaplan out of Berkeley, California. Thank you, investigative journalists. And viewers, thank you so much for being with us. And make sure you join us right here, same time tomorrow, for another debate right here at Press TV. I'm Marzia Hashimi signing out, and good night.